bitch, please.
Oh, bitch, please, my ass. You want a sandwich?
Dig that. Oh, hell yeah.
She's a bad man, a gentleman. I'm a black man in a white world.
If I wasn't a Christian man, I'd probably be kicking in your ass.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the JB's Low Tech Podcast. This is part two of Going Hollywood with Tim Lammers. And before we get deeply into it, Tim wanted me to make sure that all his media representation is covered. KQRS, the Tom Bernard podcast, which is also called The Family, the BS podcast, which is Bob Sansevier's podcast, WJON out of St. Cloud, and WCCO out of Minneapolis. And he also writes on Looper, and there's other outlets that you would find Tim Lammers on. Also, the music for the last two episodes have been LL Cool J, Sting, and Rick James. You can find this stuff about this show on Facebook and Twitter, and please like and follow on those, or go to Podbean and find the JB's Low Tech Podcast. And we will continue with part two of Going to Hollywood with Tim Lammers after this on the JB's Low Tech Podcast.
When you need someone to listen, a lawyer you know and trust.
Congratulations to all the Minnesota businesses that scraped through the last year. It sure hasn't been easy, but we've done it together. And while we certainly need to move forward, it's good to reflect on what we've been through and the many losses. Here at Bradshaw & Bryant, we held a lot of Zoom meetings, increased our phone calls, and have done our best to keep up with all the changes while continuing to provide quality work. We'd like to thank everyone that turned to us with their personal injury and criminal needs, as well as the courtrooms for bringing the community back together to serve justice. We look forward to being part of Minnesota's growth and success for many years to come. I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. I hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, don't sign anything till you've talked to us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Seeking justice for the injured, Bradshaw & Bryant.
Well, all right, you squares, it's time you smoked. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high. Sing!
Well, it's interesting because you said the first movies that brought it back were ones to scare us, which is like, for me, it's like,
yeah.
Haven't we been through enough?
Kind of counterproductive, isn't it?
Haven't we been through enough?
But,
being
you know,
scared
that's and... the whole thing. You know, that's the whole thing, though, JB. I mean, you could go into the theater and you could get scared out of your wits, but then it was over and you can walk out laughing and it's only a movie. It's only a movie. I mean,
right.
It wasn't a nightmare that you lit. Well, maybe for some people. I tell you what, man, there's a scene at the beginning of The Conjuring, an exorcism scene that, yeah, I can see that one producing nightmares. But by and large, you don't walk away with stuff hanging with you for months or years. I mean, you just can enjoy it. And that's right. It seems weird that we want to go see things that scare us. But again, it's just a movie. It's just fictional. So we can enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you said the latest Marvel release, Black mm-hmm. Widow, which my younger brother, he's probably somewhere salivating and geeking out about it. He's all into, he grew up a comic book kid. We're 4 years apart. But somehow, mm-hmm. he grew up a comic book kid, and I was more of a run up and down in the alleys and fields playing sports. But mm-hmm.
Sounds like me and my brothers. I was the one that, you know, was inside watching the movie. I played baseball and stuff, too, though, in the summer. But, yeah.
But he's the one who gets all the storylines and whatnot. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm totally lost by that. So has... I miss a good, like, action comedy or a good romance comedy. Or is there anything like that coming soon, or...?
Well, you know, the thing is, there are some movies that mix that sort of thing. And I think, you know, right now, your best choice for the action comedy is something like The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard.
Okay.
You know, that to me is your best bet as far as that thing is concerned. You know, I don't see anything that huge on the schedule coming out. Because, you know, now, you know, we're also talking about the Fast and Furious 9 coming out in theaters.
Yeah.
You know, F9 is what they call it, you know,
right.
And that's next week. And then more horror movies. We got the Forever Purge on July 2nd and then Black Widow. So, you know, no. I mean, yeah, I mean, the thing is about these sorts of movies is, too, like I said, the window has shrunk considerably,
right?
So when theaters, they weren't happy, believe me, when like Universal, they were the first ones to put their stuff directly to streaming, and that really ticked off a lot of the, because they're partners. I mean, you know, whether they want to admit it or not, the studios are partners with theaters. They need theaters to survive. They just happen to have this great option called streaming. So, you know, what's happening is that you do have great movies, like a movie called Dream Horse that came out a few weeks ago, a real-life story about this, how this community in, I guess it was a village in Wales that raised this horse that actually, you know, went on and made a run for greatness, even though they were going up against the elites. You know, this is a bunch of people kicking in 10 bucks a week, you know, in order to raise this horse. You know, it was in theaters. It probably is still in theaters, but it comes to video 17 days after the release of the film in theaters. So that is a nice sort of, you know, again, having that window shortened, that helps a lot. So, yes, you're going to see movies with, you know, a different sort of theme come out apart from action. In the Heights, another one. That is a wonderful musical, okay? But Warner Brothers has this deal with HBO Max where it premieres the same day.
Oh.
So people have the option to see it in theaters if they want and get the full experience, or they can see it, you know, if they subscribe to HBO Max, which is like 15 bucks a month or, I don't know, a lot less if you get it with commercials, kind of like Hulu's model and a few others. So, yeah, those movies are out there. I'm not saying that it's just going to be action and horror this summer. It's just that they're not going to get as much attention, obviously. But they're available. They're widely available and a lot quicker than, you know, most movies most of the time.
So with the Marvel Universe and, to a lesser extent, the DC world, has Hollywood just gone lazy?
You know, yes and no. I mean, you know, certainly I wouldn't besmirch either one of them right now because I think they're, especially Marvel, I mean, I think there's a reason that your brother is interested in this stuff is because everything is interconnected. And, you know, they're making a tremendous effort to bring to us these, you know, movie sagas that tie together all these comic book characters. So there's a lot of thought that goes into those movies in particular. DC's trying to do the same thing, and they hit the wall with the theatrical release of the Justice League a few years ago. That seemed like it was more, that seemed more lazy, right? And then Zack Snyder came out, and he did his cut of the Justice League, which basically brought respect back to the franchise.
Right.
And you know, so people love that, you know, the fact that now they want him to do everything, but he's like, I'm moving on. I'm doing zombie movies like Army of the Dead for Netflix and showing in some theaters and all that sort of stuff. You know, Marvel, no. Marvel, I won't say they're not lazy at all. I mean, they're really putting in a huge effort. Still, though, I mean, you're still getting action movies. I think maybe more towards the action route. That's where you might get the laziness and you'll get the headline about, well, this is being rebooted and that is being rebooted. And, you know, and that sort of thing. So, you know, Hollywood, by and large, seems to have an imagination problem right now. They're going with familiar franchises or titles or characters that people are familiar with. They know they're going to get them into the theaters. Excuse me. And I support them because they know they're going to get them by buying the action figures, you know, the cool to put on your desk. You know, it's all marketing. It's all about marketing and stuff like that. So they go with familiarity. And so, yeah, it's you want to see stuff more, you know, more creative, more imaginative. You're getting a lot more, I should say, on the streamers because, you know, Netflix, they're coming out with God knows how many titles each week. And HBO Max, they're putting that stuff out at a pretty good clip, too. But there you can afford to be a little more creative, and you have more time. Say if you have a series, you can make it as long as you want. You can spread out the stories. The movies, you know, with the action stuff, it's like a formula that they know will work for a couple hours in the theaters. They'll get the people in, keep them entertained for a couple hours, and then people go, and they're on their way. But again, yeah, I would like to see a lot more creativity, especially out of the action stuff. I really enjoyed The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. I know a lot of critics didn't.
Yeah.
I just kind of look at it for what it is. It's just, it's popcorn. It's funny. It plays on a formula. Again, a formula, because the movie is kind of the same as the first one.
Mm-hmm.
It's about three people bitching at each other the whole time. But when you have Ryan Reynolds, Sam Jackson, and Selma Hayek dropping the mother F-bomb every other minute, it's funny.
Right.
You know? So, and Sam Jackson, he's the king of the mother F-bomb, you know?
Right.
So, and Ryan Reynolds is pretty good at it himself. But, yeah, I don't mind it, but, you know, I definitely see your point. I mean, there's a lot of laziness out there. Laziness or just, again, lack of creativity.
Right. Well, I don't get the constant reboots. I just don't know if people don't have any creativity. Because my first interview here on my podcast was a former college roommate who actually slept on my couch. He's an associate director in Hollywood. And
cool.
And, you know, we talked about things. But, you know, reboots and when will zombies die off, that whole theme? I've never understood the whole zombie thing.
It's just weird, you know. And I was, you know what, actually, JB, you caught me on this one. I think I actually dreamed of watching The Walking Dead for some stupid reason last night or this morning. I don't know why that is. It's a foretelling of your question or something. You know, I lost interest, I should say, a few years ago. And it was funny when we talk about Mike Bryant, we were both huge fans of The Walking Dead, and he got out of it a lot sooner than I did. But it just, those sorts of things were like dismal, no hope. I mean, the future is screwed sort of deal. And they just became too brutal to watch for me personally. I think that there are still people out there that like the stuff. I don't really care that much anymore. But, you know, when you talk about creativity, you know, Zack Snyder, again, who did The Man of Steel and the proper cut of the Justice League and Batman versus Superman, you know, he started with Dawn of the Dead, remaking the George A. Romero picture that came out in 2004, where he put a different spin on it. And the zombies actually, somebody figured out that the zombies could run, you know. You know, there's Tommy's famous deal, his story. I actually heard a clip of it yesterday where he was in a theater and somebody yelled out, "How you can't outrun a mummy?" Well, You know, it's right. like the BS with the zombie, you know, lumbering all the time. Zack Snyder figured out in 2004 that, yes, they have a higher cognitive function. They can run. And he actually did Army of the Dead, which played, and it still may be playing in some theaters, but also on Netflix at the same time. He turned it into a zombie heist movie where Las Vegas was infested with zombies. It was walled off, and there was a lot of money sitting there. And the government's getting ready to nuke the place, so they got to get in there and out of there within a certain time frame so they can boost $200 million. So to me, it's like, okay, all right. And the zombies had higher cognitive function. It's like, okay, you know, this is creative,
right.
You know? And so as long as you put that in there, I'm all in. I mean, it was an insanely entertaining movie. And folks can see it on Netflix now still, by the way. I mean, that's the great part about streaming. It's always there. You know, it's a Netflix original. It's always there, so you can see it anytime. So I'd highly recommend that. But I'm hard-pressed to recommend any other sort of zombie thing right now because, yeah, you're right. What a tired...
Yeah, just...
I don't want to call it lazy. You know, you just have to really put your nose to the grindstone to figure out a different end.
Yeah,
you know, a different story device.
Right.
And, you know, otherwise you're right. It's like lumbering around. And, you know, it's
between zombies and vampires is like, okay, can we move on? Can
God.
We move on? We get it.
You
romanced about it, but let's let's move on.
Exactly.
So to move on, do you see, and for me, it would be a good thing because I own stock in Disney. Do you see Disney becoming too powerful in the movie, in the Hollywood or the movie business?
Well, that's a great question, JB. You know, another one of these, maybe it's an easy out, but yes and no. Look, I think Disney Plus obviously came around at the perfect time for them. Again, they were around for about a year before the pandemic, and their concentration now is streaming. I mean, again, it's that convenience. It's having it there for everybody right now. It's the sort of thing where Black Widow, I should point out, and they've done this with a few other films, it's called Disney Plus with Premier Access. So that means if you're a subscriber, you can get Black Widow and watch it as many times as you want if you pay an extra $30 fee, which again you do the math, you got four kids, whatever,
right?
That's a bargain, right? Here's the thing. I mean, you got Amazon all of a sudden buying MGM in their catalog and all those, you know, great MGM musicals. Obviously there's an audience for that, not as big as the James Bond stuff maybe. But, you know, all of a sudden, are they in control of the future James Bond movies? You know, so you have people like Jeff Bezos making huge investments, buying studios. So I wouldn't just quite say that Disney is, you know, rules Hollywood just yet. They do from a standpoint in that they bought 20th Century Fox, which was a huge move. And all of a sudden, you know, you have an immense library there. And you know, and again, that opens up the deal for other franchises, and you know, especially like Deadpool. You know, all of a sudden they own Deadpool now. It's funny because that's a Marvel character, but you know, Fox owned the right to it. Now Disney owns the rights to it, so now they're gonna put out all these characters that they didn't have access to before. So I think it's really gonna be a battle between, you know, you got Disney, you got Fox. That's part of Disney, but you have Amazon, you have HBO Max, which is Warner Brothers. I mean, they're teaming forces because they have the same parent company. I could see it coming down to a 2, 3, or 4 sort of showdown, but I don't know if we're going to see in the next few years one studio ruling them. Well, not like the Lord of the Rings, JB, one ring to rule them all. I don't think we're going to see that sort of thing. Another one not to count out is Netflix.
Right.
Because Netflix is a company that they've, you know, been trying like a really, really hard to to get into, you know, the Oscar game and putting out films in theaters, renting out theaters, not playing them in traditional ways, where they rent out the movies, where they just rent out and they keep all the money. You know, and they did that with, well, it's the way it works, right?
Well, the way you say it, all the money.
Yeah, all with probably the exception of the concessions. But right. that's the whole thing, though. Because when you're talking about movie, the way the movie business works mm-hmm. is that theaters rent these titles, essentially, right?
Right.
And I don't know if I'm explaining this properly, but when you got big movies like Star Wars, you know, Indiana Jones is coming out again, you know, Mission Impossible, these huge, huge franchises, they take most of the money. Like, you know, in a Star Wars situation, 80 to 90% of your ticket price. So the theater makes 10% of that. And then that's why concessions are so expensive, and I've never balked about concessions. Because that's how they make their money.
Right.
I mean, that's how they keep their doors open and they pay the people. So I've never had a problem with that. You know, I know people complain about that, but that's the reality of it. So when Netflix comes in, it's like, well, you know what? We're just going to rent the theater. So we're going to give you a certain amount. And then we're just going to keep all the money. You know, they'll make their money on concessions, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as far as the money the movie makes, you know, that's a different situation. But having said that, there are theaters that have been resistant to them because, again, they're infringing on their business model.
Right.
So you're never going to, I shouldn't say never, but right now you are not going to see a Netflix movie in an AMC theater. I think they struck a deal with Cinemark or, you know, one of those chains, which allowed them to get Army of the Dead into 500 theaters. And what they discovered was, hey, this works really well. People mm-hmm. want it. You know, obviously the timing, people want to see this spectacle of a movie on the big screen. And then again, it's available for folks on Netflix if they want to see it. So
right.
with the success of an Army of the Dead, I wouldn't be shocked if Netflix is going to start bankrolling bigger and bigger popcorn sorts of movies
mm-hmm.
that they're going to put out there. So they're a player too. You know, so again, like I say, when I'm talking about the 3, 4, 5, yeah, it's just not one yet. I think you made a wise investment in the Disney stock, though. I'm not saying I think you're going to be fine with that. I think it's going to be a while for your wish to come true and have them rule everything.
Right. Well, that was given to me or earned for the short period of time that KQ was owned by Disney ABC, and
right.
You know, and they spun, you know, they sold us, spun us off or whatever. And I had totally forgot that I had shares. And then all of a sudden I got contacted on voting. I was like, what? I have what? I mean, I totally forgot.
Well, obviously nobody really has the foresight, but boy, what a wise move that was.
Right.
Because now look, too, and as far as streaming is concerned, you got Disney Plus. But they also own Hulu. They also own ESPN. So you have ESPN mm-hmm. Plus. You know, so, yeah. I mean, it really does seem the way of the world now for companies just to buy other companies and diversify or whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it. I don't know the first thing about stocks. I only know the buzzwords here and there. But,
me too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but you know the buzzwords, and you own some of the stocks. So you're quite a few steps ahead of me, man.
Well, and when you said all the money, the way you said it made me think of one person, Philip Wise.
Oh yes, the Philly dog, man. I love the Philly dog, as you know.
Right.
I mean, that's one thing that I missed during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And Philly, I know you're listening. I love you, man. And my family loves you, too. I mean, Philly's been so wonderful to me, and he loves my wife and mm-hmm. my kids. He's such a great guy. You know, we would go to screenings all
yes.
the time. And, Philly, you know, that you're right. All the money.
Yeah, because he'd pull me aside, and we'd have conversations. And he'd say, JB, it's about all the money. All the money.
The money all the time. there's a drop on KQ, right? Talking about the money all the time. Well, you know, Tommy points it out every week. You know, it's all about the money. And unfortunately, for a lot of people, it's in very evil ways when we're talking about money in that context.
Yeah,
so,
sadly. Yeah,
and look, man, I mean, the business, it's called the movie business for a reason. It's a business. I mean, nobody's doing it, you know, for I would hope that they're doing it for the enjoyment of it. One thing I will say, you know, you do find people, filmmakers, et cetera. The executive is a different thing. It's all about making the money. But, you know, for the filmmakers, it's true. I mean, I was on a press conference yesterday with Marvel for their Black Widow movie. Mm-hmm. And the word fun came up quite a bit.
Right.
And it's true. It's true. I mean, if you lose sight of the fun that movie making is and the fun that people have, because it really has to rub off on people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can't ever lose sight of that. You can't ever look at it like a business. So I also must point out, too, I actually got a question in for Scarlett Johansson yesterday, which was kind of cool. So I write for a website called Looper.com.
Okay.
And, so that was kind of cool. But Yeah. It, again, you know, these people are clearly loving what they're doing. They're enjoying it. And you and I, JB, look, man, you're doing this podcast. You're loving it. It's fun. Obviously, I've been doing this my whole adult life. If you lose sight of that, that it's fun, then you got to move on to something else. So,
How true.
Exactly.
How true. Well, and we were talking about the business of Hollywood, and I want to get into a little heaviness right now.
Sure.
What's with people returning their awards back to the academies and whatnot? What is going on with that? I have no clue.
Well, you know, look, I think people are afraid. It's the cancel culture. Mm-hmm. Where if you don't make the right moves and agree with whoever's shouting the loudest, you're going to be seen as anti them, right? Now, look, the Golden Globes were called out, and for a damn good reason. I mean, no black membership. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Jesus, I mean, what year are we living in? But the thing is, also, they've been an organization under scrutiny for years anyway, just of their practices. They pay their membership. Now, look, I belong to the Broadcast Film Critics Association. We pay dues, you know.
Right.
But, you know, they pay their membership, and they're very comfy with the studios, or were, I should say, not anymore. And their access to things was, it seemed like they had a lot greater access. So people kind of were suspicious of them for quite some time. But all of a sudden, you know, in an age of diversity and inclusion, et cetera, if, you know, again, that a glaring deal that I'm shocked that it's taken so long, because it's been like 20 years since they've had any black membership. It's like, again, in this day and age, you got to get your stuff together, man, and you got to clean up the internal crap too. So all of a sudden, you have these publicists saying, "None of our clients are going to talk to you until you get your act straightened."
Mm-hmm.
And then Tom Cruise took it a step further,
right?
And said, "You know what? I don't like the way you guys do things. You know, the stuff that you gave me to begin with, you know, these Golden Globes, I don't want them anymore. If this is what your organization represents, I don't want any part of it." So, I don't know. He didn't necessarily kick off this rash where hundreds of actors were turning in their Golden Globes, but I think what he did, that was cool. That was a huge statement.
Mm-hmm.
And but by and large, when you get situations like that, it's like you got to feel a need to participate. And if you don't participate, they're going to see you as anti-cause, and then they're going to come after you.
Right.
So I think that, you know, maybe not necessarily tied in with the statues, but certainly holding people's feet to the fire, like the publicists did,
mm-hmm.
like NBC did, even though they were NBC was paid a lot of money to the rights to the Globes, to air the Globes. They said, no, we're not going to air you next year.
Wow.
You know, so they had to basically eat a lot of money mm-hmm. and not broadcast the show. So in this particular instance, I can get behind what they were doing. You know, obviously, I think you and I both are the cancel culture drives you nuts when somebody, you know, pulls
yeah,
up a tweet from 15 years ago
right.
and said, you know, but yeah, it's a different deal out there. I think you are seeing a lot of change. I think you were seeing a lot. I think some studios deserve more credit than others, but I think the whole diversity initiative just didn't start in the last year.
Right.
I think it's been going on a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
It just hasn't been getting as much press. But again, you know, that's the root of what we're talking about here. You were asking about the awards thing.
Right.
So, yeah, it's really about getting behind the cause, and some people feel the need to be vocal about it. And the problem is, even when you are vocal about it, they might come after you if they don't like what you have to say, even though you're on their side.
Right. That's true.
It's a screwed up deal. Thank God we live in Minnesota, JB.
Well, but with saying we live in Minnesota, just think.
Yeah, well, that's not perfect either.
No. But just think.
But, yeah.
Something that
Thank
happened.
Thank God we're not in the industry.
Right.
How about that?
Yeah. But something that happened here, the death of George Floyd.
Yeah.
That's a tentacle of it. Because it, you know, it emboldened people to step forward and point out the issues in Hollywood where minorities weren't getting jobs or only getting certain jobs, and and they weren't behind the camera. I was telling you about the friend who's the assistant director. His name is Van Hayden, and he went to the U with when I was there, and he's from Duluth, but he spends most of his time here when he's not somewhere shooting, and he's worked on the reboot of the Wonder Years, which is now going to feature a black family.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's worked on that. Mm-hmm. He did the Aretha Franklin biopic and a lot of other things. He's got his start by begging Spike Lee to just hang out and be around mm-hmm. Spike, and they hired him because the person who's in charge of the food and whatnot at a movie shoot, the craft director, I think it's called.
Yep.
Did a lousy job, and so they fired him and asked Van if he could take it over, and he had no experience, and he took it over, and he did something as simple as offering hot apple cider with cinnamon.
Wow.
And everybody went crazy, and Spike gave him a bonus and gave him a job.
No kidding.
Right.
It's crazy, isn't it? How some things, you know, it's those happy accidents, I guess you could say.
Right.
That happened, yeah. And you're right. You know, I'm glad you point out, you know, the significance, the sea change, really, you know, that unfortunately this man's death has really shined the spotlight in so many areas and has reached out even into Hollywood and really pointed out a bunch of things that for years should have been taken care of and aren't.
Right.
And, or I shouldn't say aren't. They are now. Finally, somebody pulled their head out of their ace in Hollywood.
Right.
Or I should say several people. And they're making it right, finally. I think you're seeing that reflected, too. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
And,
so, yeah.
And not only for African-Americans, but Asian-Americans and Latino
mm-hmm.
ex-Americans and, you know, the whole gambit where you see movies where it's just Asian only or black only and not have it be Roots or something like, you know, like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
You know, this shows the other side. You know, we have another side to our culture than just sports and slavery, you know, entertainment. You know, we have families
sure.
and we have cultures and we all have just like anybody else. So
yeah, well, you know, it's interesting, you know, that you say that. I mean, this week I wanted to point this movie out because number one, it's a great movie, But it's on Netflix only. Just started yesterday, called Fatherhood with Kevin Hart.
Yes.
Actually based, I shouldn't say based in Minnesota, but it's based on an author. And I haven't looked into it too much. I want to, though. In the movie, he's a dad, a new dad.
Mm-hmm.
His wife gives birth. Unfortunately, she dies a day after she gave birth to their new daughter. So he wants to raise the daughter on his own. And during the movie, like, Elfrey Woodard is in it. I just love Elfrey Woodard, too. She keeps saying, you know what, I think you would be better off if you moved back to Minnesota. It's like, and Minnesota is just such of a huge part of this movie. It's like, the author, Matt Langelin, wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, he must be from Minnesota, because this
right.
is based on his life. But, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, Matt is white, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it's a human story we can relate to,
right.
for God's sakes. I mean, if you're a parent.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Kevin Hart, you know, he fell in love with this movie. He found this movie, this wonderful human story. You know, we're all humans, for Christ's sake,
right.
right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what's wonderful, is that you can take a story that isn't limited to a specific culture or
mm-hmm.
whatever. It just appeals to the human in all of us, right?
Right.
So that's what I love. You know, I love that, you know, we're seeing movies like that now. You know, and honestly, I didn't even know that until I saw a picture of him and the real life Matt, and
mm-hmm.
Maddie is the girl's name, and Kevin Hart in the press stuff. I thought, yeah, this is really cool. This is real cool. You know, so, you know, the thing is that you got guys like Kevin who are taking their clout, because
mm-hmm.
the guy's got a lot of clout.
Yeah, he does.
And he's telling stories other than, you know, Kevin could go down the romantic comedy route or the comedy, raunchy comedy route, and he can make a living in that. But no, he's taking on stories with serious themes that can be very funny and have funny people in them. Lil Rel Howery is in it, and actually
okay.
I interviewed him for the film, and he's a terrific guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shows a side of him that we did not necessarily used to seeing. I mean, obviously he was hilarious in Get Out, but
right.
you know, he was also in Judas and the Black Messiah. So it gives him an opportunity, too, to expand his wings a bit, too. So, you know, and then it's got another guy named Anthony Carrigan, who's in a show called Barry. He plays a character named Noho Hank, this Russian gangster, this Chechen gangster character who is really very funny. You know, so just a great cast. And again, he's telling a story. Okay.
Right.
And that's what we need. We have stories that we can all relate to. And who gives a rat's ass, as Tommy would say,
mm-hmm.
you know, what color anybody is. This is a story we all relate to.
Well, the issue is that Hollywood had, for years, would have hired a white actor for that role. But
right.
as you said, Kevin has enough clout because not only is he one of the top comics, but he's on Sirius Radio. He owns a channel on Sirius Radio. But then he has his own podcast where he interviews comics about the comic business. He has a...
Mm-hmm.
Fitness thing with Nike. You know, he's reaching out all over the place to different
mm-hmm.
aspects. And, you know, let's face it, the death of a wife after giving childbirth, which is one of the biggest issues in this country faces, women dying after childbirth,
mm-hmm.
is a human, like you said, it's a human story. It's happened to blacks, it's happened to whites, it's happened to Asians, it's happened to Latinos, and you know,
mm-hmm.
it happens to us all. And the more that we can shine a light on stories where it happens to us all, the better off we're
mm-hmm.
going to be.
Yeah, and the timing, of course, is, you know, coming up with Father's Day and stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's great. And you know what? The whole thing is, man, I am such – Kevin Hart is one of my favorites, like number one up there of all entertainers, and mainly because – and if JB, I don't know if you've ever watched any YouTube stuff or interviews with him, bar none, I mean, bar none, the most positive guy.
Yes.
The most inspirational guy that mm-hmm. I have seen in years. There's a. I'll have to send them to you if you haven't seen them, but there's a couple clips I like to share with people, you know, talking about the power of positive thinking. He's on the Joe Rogan podcast, and just the greatest stuff. I mean, it, two videos, I think they stretch out over like 20 minutes, but I'll send them to you.
Okay.
Or people that are your listeners are listening right now, look it up. Just Google Joe Rogan, Kevin Hart, and watch those interview clips, because the guy is just freaking amazing. So, yeah, when he's in a movie, I'm 100% on board. And, you know, he can bring that comedy to this role. He can bring that drama to this role. Again, showing this tremendous range that he has. But, again, ultimately, this story is a story of inspiration. It's a story of hope. You know, it's a story of positive thinking. You know, it's,
right.
it's a can-do thing. I mean, his in-laws didn't want him to raise the child on his own. They had a lot of doubts in him, but he said, you know what, I know I can't do it, but I'm going to do it because I love this child. And, it, you know, and he did, you know. Spoiler, sorry.
Well,
they're not going to call the movie Fatherhood if, right. if he gives the kid to the in-laws right away to raise.
Right.
Yeah, so, but yeah, definitely see that movie. And that again, is a great example of, again, providing this example for everybody. And again, you know, we talk about human stories so much, but God, we don't see enough of those anyway, you know,
right.
especially in movies. Yeah, this is one you really, really have to see, because I think it really speaks to Kevin Hart as a person. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to interview him this time. I talked mm-hmm. with Anthony Carrigan and Lil Rel, which were mm-hmm. great. They were terrific.
Right.
And they talked about how Kevin has inspired them. But man, my God, what an incredible talent Kevin Hart is.
Yeah, and I've heard Kevin talk about, you know, he's had dark periods in his mm-hmm. own life, you know, when he mm-hmm. had that accident. And he was very honest. He said, if I go off this bridge, who will care? You know, and he lived through it, and he found out, you know, the people who do care, you know, mm-hmm. his family and things like that.
Well, one of the things with Kevin is, you know, and he, of course, they took him to task with the cancel culture BS, mm-hmm. where they found a couple old tweets.
Right.
And he lost his gig as an Oscar host. Mm-hmm. And then people finally came to their senses. And I think they might have asked him back. He said, you know, blank you.
Right.
You know, and I'm glad he did. is that he lit up cancel culture recently again by saying that we all make mistakes. That's
right.
why we grow. Of course, the way he put it was, we all F up, but
right.
he didn't say F.
Well, that was the title of a Netflix special, Don't F This Up.
Exactly.
And which talks with, you know, it's him showing his family and him getting the understanding that he's getting another shot. And he's remarried, but he's also incorporated the kids from the first marriage, and then also his own father. So
yeah.
he's like trying to manipulate through all these different things to keep his family together and for him mm-hmm. not to screw this up.
Right. Right. Oh, God, yeah. And he talks about that in this Rogan interview that I love so much of him in it. So, yeah, I just suggest, and I'm sure you would feel the same way with your listeners, just find as much Kevin Hart stuff out there as you can consume.
Right.
You know, and I'm talking about more than the movies. I mean,
right.
yes, he's terrific in the movies. And Fatherhood, again, put it on your calendar. You know, make time for it. But also, too, just, you know, the guy's written books, and, you know, he's obviously out there doing interviews, and it's just, you know, yeah, there's the funny stuff, too. He's funny as hell in the interviews, but, boy, you get somebody, you know, delving into his personal life and his personal motivation and his positivity, man. God, you walk, and you like the hair standing on the back of your neck, the stuff that he says. It's so incredible.
But then you have the other side of this where there was a balloon floated out about the next James Bond, and it was Idris Elba, and people lost their mind.
Yeah.
It was like, so James Bond can't be black?
Yeah. Yeah. Idris, he should be the next James Bond.
Yes.
I don't understand that. The thing is that sucks is that it seems to take so damn long for these movies to come out. I don't want him to age out of the role.
Right.
You know, he's a good looking fella who, you know, I think he's got quite a few more years that he can play James Bond. But yeah, yeah. Why? Look, first of all, 007 is like it's a character. I mean,
right.
Obviously, how many, five, six different guys have mm-hmm. played him now? Different people altogether. I know people were losing their minds when a blonde Bond mm-hmm. With Daniel Craig. What? And then he comes in and just kicks ass.
Right.
You know, which was great. You know, so it's like all these guys are different, you know? So what's the difference if Idris comes in? None.
Right.
He's a charismatic guy. You know, he's a great actor. I interviewed him once a long time ago. Terrific guy. You know, he's well liked by everybody. You know, come on. Let's go. Let's get this done.
Well, like we've been talking for most of this, Tim, some things move slow and some things move fast, and it was mm-hmm. just interesting. Again, I'll just state the death of a person here in the state of Minnesota, mm-hmm. the far-reaching tentacles and the effects, and the heightened amount of cancel culture and whatnot. And then you had, but also with the cancel culture thing going on, but then you had the other side where the idiots are just out there saying anything they want to and displaying any symbol that they feel comfortable with and whatnot. And you're just like, where does somebody get that comfortable? You know, and that blazing.
It goes back to the anonymity thing, I think, obviously, with Twitter, you know, which I will openly just call a cesspool. Look, I use it to promote my stuff.
I
know,
do
you
too.
And I follow each other right. on Twitter, et cetera. You know, so you can use it, you know, to promote stuff. Some people put funny stuff out there, but it really has turned into what I've called before a hate cauldron.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where the hell that came from, but it just came out, so I stuck with it. But again, it's this anonymity where, you know, you don't put your name on it. You just grab a bunch of letters, throw them together, and that's your user handle, and nobody knows who the hell you are. And they're screaming whatever they want to scream, and then other people of a similar mind get behind them, and next thing you know it, they're calling for somebody's head, you know, which is really unfortunate. I wish that would change. It really just takes a lot of fighting back. But, you know, to your point before about giving back awards, recently In the Heights came out, you know, with Lin-Manuel Miranda. Is that what it is? Yeah. It's, you know, Tommy gets it screwed up on the air, and I screwed it up. Yeah. You know, the guy, everybody knows him, the guy that created Hamilton, Lin. I'll just call him Lin.
Okay.
Lin-Manuel Miranda. There we go. You know, people were complaining that, you know, even though it was, you know, largely a Latino cast, it, you know, they were complaining about the casting decisions with that as well. And it's like, my God. And so he apologized. And then Rita Moreno came out and said, you know, I'm back up Lin-Manuel. You cannot please everybody
right.
all the time. But then they went after her.
Of course.
So then she apologized. It's like, my God, when is this going to end? I mean, because the way I look at it is, and I was talking with a friend about this yesterday, has anybody done more for inclusion and diversity out there in the entertainment business than Lin-Manuel Miranda? I mean, look at Hamilton, for God's
mm-hmm.
sakes. You know? Why are you going after him? His heart is in the right place. His mind is in the right place. And by me talking about this, you know, defending him, JB, people are going to say, well, let's cancel him now, too.
Right.
Where, you know, where your people are afraid is like, well, can I even speak out about this? Well, yeah, I am going to speak out about this.
Well,
because look at the positive. Again, it comes
right.
to positivity. Look at the overwhelming positive effect that this man has mm-hmm. had on the business. And it just ticks me off to no end that people are going after the guy.
Well,
you know, it just really ticks me off.
It's funny because on Kevin Hart, it's called Comedy Gold Mines on Sirius XM Radio. It's not on the radio, it's on the app. And he interviews comics, and he's interviewed Jerry Seinfeld and Bill Burr. And they get into some deep conversations, and you could tell Kevin is starting to apologize. And both times, Bill Burr and Jerry Seinfeld both said, don't apologize. They both go, that's the problem. Don't apologize because you're fearful that you're going to be canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And then they chuckle, and then, Jerry and Bill both said, I understand why you did it, but we can't keep apologizing if we're going to be comics. Because
exactly.
Because if we continue to do that, then comedy will die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people just have to get tougher skins. And I mean, I tell people, the comic George Wallace, I was in a Your Mama contest with him, and I was put directly three rows center from Sage from Don Rickles. So you can guess what happened to me. And I didn't get up and walk out. In both cases, I thought it was the funniest thing that I've ever went through in my life.
Oh, man.
Because every time he needed to get a black joke over, he'd turn and look at me. And, what do you think, brother? You know, I was like, it is what it is. You know.
Yeah.
I didn't get upset, and I didn't leave. I just, hey, it's just comedy. You know, he ain't killing me. He ain't taking anything away from me. You know. Now, when you're in a, and I guess this will sound a little strained, but when you're amongst buddies and you're just trying to hang out and you just want to relax and whatnot, and somebody wants to go into a Trump diatribe or this diatribe, it's like, hey, we're all here amongst friends and we just want to relax. You know, keep that crap at home, you know,
exactly.
Or keep it amongst your Trump followings or your Biden followings or whatever groups that you hang out with. But I said, if we're all here mingled together and we're here to play baseball or just to hang out, can we just do those things?
Yeah.
You know, and it's just been, and that's another reason why people are probably a little shy about getting out and about, because they don't want to deal with the fringes of each group, you know.
Yes.
You know, that's just tiring too. I mean,
oh, God, yeah.
You know,
Well, you know, I wanted to mention before,
mm-hmm.
when you were talking about Seinfeld and Burr.
Yes.
You know, and I think Kevin Hart is in this space now, too, because obviously he is speaking out and really coming down hard on cancel culture. It's unfortunate. You just have to get to a certain level of stardom where, you know, go after me. I'm still going to be around after you're done with me.
Right.
You got to, you know, where you can afford to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, there are a lot of people that, you know, I'm glad Bill Burr has stuck to his guns because
right.
he's been around. I'm sure he could retire comfortably if he wanted to. But again, the guy loves what he does so much
right.
that it would drive him crazy to not do it. You know, whether if he was canceled, I would follow him anyway. I don't care.
Right.
You're always going to have your following. But, you might have somebody up and coming that's really funny, but it's like, could they be funnier if they
right.
really, really let go? I mean, what is this person really about?
Well,
because obviously we grew up in a time,
mm-hmm.
JB, where people could say anything. I mean, obviously some stuff is like, you wouldn't even dare say out loud these days. But at least they had the freedom to say it.
Right.
Right. And if you can agree with it, disagree with it, hate them, love them, whatever. But at least you had that opportunity to do it, you know.
Well, Bill Burr, in his latest special, which is like a year plus old, and you can tell because there's no COVID talk in it, but there is cancel culture talk in it. And he said, how about these white women who were in the hot tub with us white men? Turning on us when they were in the hot tub with us agreeing with us. I thought that was one of the greatest statements ever. It's like,
well, you know, there's that, and if people, your listeners, they have to, I'm sure they have already because it was such a big deal when it happened. But when he hosted Saturday Night Live and that opening monologue,
right.
And he, oh my God, it was. You know, for us, it's like, it's so damn refreshing to hear it. But it obviously drove a lot of people nuts, you know, that are high strung and, you know, want to cancel you. And there was an effort there. And believe me, man, if he can survive that, then I think he's going to be just fine. And he did. He did survive that. And he's getting bigger and bigger, you know. He's on The Mandalorian, one of my favorite shows.
Right. Yeah.
I love the guy.
Yeah, that was a surprise to see him pop up in that show for me. It was like, huh? And then to see him pull it off was just great, you know?
Yeah.
Because he brought a tinge of...
You got to have guts, you know? Unfortunately, you know, sometimes it works out, but, you know, he's doing it because that's the way he always has been.
Right.
You know, for somebody to try to take a risk... And I think probably most of the time they don't. So we never see that full potential with some of these people.
Yeah,
Bill has shown that you can get out there and you can and risk your whole career and come out clean on the other side, or mostly clean. You know, obviously you're going to get a new group of people that hate you after that. But I think that's why people love him, because he's saying what he wants to say, you know.
Well. And he showed, even in that role, you know, his humor still came out in that role. But the all-time heavyweight champ lately of this is Dave Chappelle. It's just hammering anything and everything that moves. He's hammered the LGBTQ community. He's hammered African-Americans. He's hammered... whites, he's hammered Asian Americans, Latino X, he's hammered them all, and he continues to, you know, with one sentence, brought Netflix to his knees. He was at a show and he said, hey, please, I ask and I beg you all to stop watching my show because they bought the rights to the Chappelle show. But Dave didn't get any money from that, and he just said, hey, can you stop watching my show on Netflix? Because they're not paying me. And the viewership of the Chappelle show on Netflix bottomed out immediately after that went viral. His statement went viral, and Netflix paid him. And he came back out his next show and said, okay, you can go back watching the Chappelle show. And viewership went right back up again. So it goes
to... What you're talking about, it just, you know, a lot of times people will say, well, what makes a classic movie?
Right.
And this also extends to television and what Chappelle has done. Chappelle is a short sort of guy. Now, back in the day, because I don't even have cable anymore, JB, I have all streaming. But back in the day, if you're flipping across the dial or, you know, flipping across the remote or whatever, you could stop at any point in a Chappelle show skit or whatever he's doing on, you know, on stage, and stop and watch. Doesn't matter what point it is.
Right.
You just stop and watch. He just immediately captures your attention. So for movies, I'll say whether it's the first minute or the last minute, you're going to stop and you're going to watch. Chappelle has that sort of effect where you see he's on and you got to keep watching, even if it's in the middle of the, you know, pancakes at, you know, Paisley Park with or whatever, you know. You just have to stop and watch, and that to me is the definition of a classic. I mean, God, that show was such, it's such of an amazing show. And, you know, it's sad that it went away, and we did get like that half season.
Right.
Where, you know, we got some of the, you know, the completed skits, but God, I wish we could get more of that, because we, that was brilliant stuff.
Right.
Talk about, that's amongst my all-time favorite stuff right there. I mean, there's so many skits to mention. There's just too many to mention, because
right.
they're all great.
Well, sir, it's been almost 2 hours here. I said we'd go an hour, but it has absolutely been fun to talk, catching up with you and talking to you. And, again, you want to tell people where they, the outlets where they can find you?
Yeah, well, I'm I got my own website, which is basically the home base for everywhere I appear. JB, I'll definitely be posting the link to your podcast on
there
as
well. I appreciate it.
Directconversations.com is my website.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm on KQ every Thursday morning to do movie reviews. I'm on WCCO
yes.
a couple times a week. I'm mm-hmm. on WJON in St. Cloud. I'm in KRWC in Buffalo. And I write for Looper.com, which is, you know, where I do a lot of interview stuff. So, you know, you can catch the links to all of that sort of stuff on my website, directconversations.com.
Yeah, I'm going to have to add another Bradshaw and Bryant commercial at the end of this and make this a two-parter because we went so long, which is,
well,
which
you know,
is great
you, you
for me.
You asked me, JB, you said, plan on an hour, it's like, JB, you really know that I'm a blabber? Do you really know? And here's the other thing. I know that I stepped on you quite a few times. I'm terrible at interrupting people.
No, it's fine.
I'm kind of hard of hearing.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, sorry about that. So I'm sorry that I interrupted you so much.
No, hey, I'm... Hey, the less I got to talk, the better off we all are. So...
Well, I hope that we can do this again, man. It's been a blast.
Sure.
You know, and it's sad because, again, with the pandemic, I mean, we've chatted with each other a few times on Messenger or whatever
right.
on Facebook. But, you know, you're so used to getting out and seeing people and talking to people. And, you know, so, man, we've done a lot of catching up here, man.
All right. Well, again, this has been the JB's Low Tech Podcast, and we went Hollywood and beyond with Tim Lammers. And, Tim, I just want to thank you again.
Thank you, friend. I appreciate it. It's always great to talk with you, and I look forward to our next chat.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
When you need someone to listen, a lawyer you know and trust.
Congratulations to all the Minnesota businesses that scraped through the last year. It sure hasn't been easy, but we've done it together. And while we certainly need to move forward, it's good to reflect on what we've been through and the many losses. Here at Bradshaw and Bryant, we held a lot of Zoom meetings, increased our phone calls, and have done our best to keep up with all the changes while continuing to provide quality work. We'd like to thank everyone that turned to us with their personal injury and criminal needs, as well as the courtrooms for bringing the community back together to serve justice. We look forward to being part of Minnesota's growth and success for many years to come. I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw and Bryant. I hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, don't sign anything till you've talked to us.
Find Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com.
Seeking justice for the injured, Bradshaw and Bryant.
J.B.
is my name, and f***ing up motherfuckers is my game.
Right on. Negro, Black, African American,
Black.
Django,
J.B.
Damn, Dolomite.
Great God in heaven, you know I
J.B.
our great Negro
sex machine.